Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Sports Radio 90 John Gainey from the Northern Kia Studios. John Friggy with you. I don't think I've seen a group of fans, some Falcons fans, kind of largely, for various reasons, be so upset about going from the worst quarterback room in the league 2 years ago with the noodle-armed quitter and DoorDash Dez to the potentially best quarterback room in the NFL with Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr., but apparently they're upset about this. So, okay, walk me through it. That's fine. Your calls at 404-726-0929. Your reaction, best, worst, what do you make of the draft here? That's what we're talking about today. What surprised you the most? And again, what surprised me the most was not Penix, was not trading up for Rook. What surprised me the most was how heavy and strong they went into the interior of the defensive line with Rook, with Dorless, and then still with Zion Logue, with three guys in the interior of the defensive line, because I wasn't ready for that because I hadn't quite figured out, because we didn't know, we'd never seen it, and they're not going to tell us, what Jimmy Lake really wants to do and Raheem wants to do on defense, and how do you increase the pass rush? They're going to try and increase the pass rush going inside out. They're going to try and get run-stuffing big guy. Rook and Zion are big dudes who can load up right there in the middle and just clog the middle of the lane. And by clogging the middle of the lane, you're going to be able to free up the guys on the outside. Look, we all understand the concept that you can make your secondary better by having a better pass rush, right? Everybody gets that? Everybody gets that, oh, suddenly you have an average secondary, but you make them look good because your pass rush is getting to the quarterback, correct? We all understand that, right? All right, good. The same is true within the pass rush itself. All right, you can make your edges better by having a better push up the middle, and all of a sudden you have to commit. You can't double the guy on the edge. You got to commit to the inside, because if you don't, and you're worried over, if I'm worried and looking over here to the right to the guy coming off the edge over here to my right, and somebody's blowing up the center in the middle and coming right at me, I got a problem. Correct? You know, so that's where you make Grady more, and Grady coming back too. You make Grady better. You make Onyemata better. You make, Zach Harrison and Lo Carter and now Trice and Ellis and Anderson, they all become better. I'm not expecting great. Look, if the Atlanta Falcons defense is what I think it could be here, and it'll be interesting to see how it kind of all plays out. If they're a middle-of-the-pack defense, there's another way to make that defense better too, you know. And that is to not have them have to go out three and out every time. And you get them a little bit of rest. There's another way to make the defense better, too. That is to score points and force the other team to become one-dimensional. They work hand in glove here, okay? It's hand in glove. What is this team, if they're going to win 12 games, what are they going to win it on? Boys and girls, moms and dads, tell me now, what are the Atlanta Falcons, if they're going to win the NFC South and win 11-12 games this year, go to the playoffs and maybe get a home playoff game, and who knows what's going to happen after that? Anything can happen, right? So if they're going to make the playoffs and anything can happen here, what do they have to lean on? What's going to have to happen? What's going to have to go right? Kirk Cousins. That's what's got to go right, okay? The quarterback's got to go right, correct? because he unlocks everything. He unlocks. Suddenly you see, oh my God, I didn't know that Drake London was that good. Oh my God, I didn't know Kyle Pitts was that good. We already kind of know that they're good. Think about the catches that Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Bijan Robinson had to make behind their back and don't go over their shoulder and then because the DoorDash and Quitter were throwing the ball like, hey, here's a hand grenade. I mean, how about you throw them open and suddenly Kyle Pitts has a 3-touchdown game and you go, wait, Kyle Pitts just scored 3 touchdowns today? Yeah. Why? You mean Kirk Cousins threw them open? Yeah. Oh, okay. They're having to play from behind. Oh, we can unleash the hounds and pin our ears back. Oh, that makes our pass rush look better, doesn't it? So they all kind of work together. Look, they're not doing this because they're not taking darts and, you know, looking the end of the dart and throwing it up the wall. Oh, hey, some dude from Clemson whose name we can't pronounce. Anybody ever heard of this guy? This Ruke guy? Come on. There's a plan here, all right? But if you're upset, I understand. And I'm giving you full rein to say you're upset. And by the way, I'm not saying that I understand if it'll work or not. I don't know. You don't know. We can't know. I want to believe it will because I'm a Kool-Aid drinker and I drive a bandwagon. But that's just me. 404-726-0929. Let's get to your reaction as we talk about the Falcons. Let's go to Michael. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I want to say this. I think that it's absolutely genius what our staff did. The bottom line is he gave his reasons why they picked this low now and get the star quarterback for the immediate future and the extended future. The bottom line is we are for the Falcons. We're going to rally behind Kirk Cousins. We're going to be optimistic about our season. We're looking to win double digits for years to come. Bottom line is, Their way they're thinking is genius. To get the pass rush from the middle, moves the quarterback off his spot, creates dysrhythmia within his receivers, the routes get messed up. This is a recipe for winning success. They knew what they were doing. These guys are making the moves that makes a difference for championships, not, you know, oh, we're trying to shore up this for now and this. These guys are visionaries, and I love it. And I'm going to support the Falcons. When Kirk Cousins is out there, we're for the Falcons. He's going to do great here with our receivers and what we have. And the building up that defense like that is a wonderful thing to see.
You thought I had the good Kool-Aid. Ha! 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 That's a great call. Thanks, Michael. I want to appreciate it. So a friend of mine who's really well-connected, and I will not share his name on the air because it's just not fair to him, but a friend of mine who's really, really well-connected to Flowery Branch, I'll just say that, all right? I'll leave it at that. He texted me and said, on the Warren Sharp draft value chart, go back and look. Warren Sharp is one of the big draft guys. Warren Sharp value chart, go back and look at his 2020. This is, we're talking last year on his value chart. Okay, this is Warren Sharp. Warren Sharp, well-respected guy. And I'm only pointing this out to make a point here. This guy goes on, he says, Sharp had Detroit, which was easily the best rookie class of the year last year, number 30 in the league, and yet they easily had the best rookie class as it played out, right? He had Jahmyr Gibbs, Warren Sharp did, as the number one most overvalued rookie. Well, I think Jahmyr Gibbs is pretty good. He had C.J. Stroud as the fifth most overvalued rookie.
I don't know about you, C.J. Stroud, pretty good.
It's really hard to tell. This is not to slam Warren Sharp. They're spitting in the wind, and they spit in the wind. This is why I don't like experts. Because they spit into the wind and only look at a player from a measurable standpoint, from what they see on film. Most of them never talk to the players, so they don't know what the player's about. They don't know, you know, his makeup, you know, how he's going to fit in the locker room. Is he, you know, they value him at a static point in time, you know, as opposed to, you know, you take a player who's a 3-star,
You know, I've mentioned before that Tom Crean and I are friendly. I go to Indiana when Victor Oladipo was a freshman, and he pointed to me during practice and he said, "You see this kid Oladipo?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "This guy's going to be a superstar." And I went, "Do you really think?" Well, he says, "Because he's just now growing into his body. And he's got this incredible athletic talent, and he's going to get better every single year. And watch, he'll explode by the time he's a junior. And by the time he's a junior, you could argue that Victor Oladipo was the best college basketball player in the country. And, I mean, he was that good. And so you have to view people in the prism of, are they going to get better? Are they as good as they're going to get? You draft a five-star out of high school, that's great. But is that as good as he's going to get? This was the problem that we had. I'm gonna stop for a second and prove this to you. Let's go back to the beginning of last year. We bought into me, you likely, certainly Arthur Smith, certainly Terry Fontenot, into this. Desmond Ridder had four games and got better each game, and we believe he will get better through the season. And by the end of the year, he will be a competent, and that's all we ask him to be, quarterback in the NFL. Right? I bought into that. Sure, yes. I admit it, I'm guilty. He didn't get any better. As a matter of fact, he was just the same quarterback, if not even a little bit worse, by game 17 than he was in game 1. Flatline. Flatline. He had one good game against the Houston Texans. Flatline. Never got any better. And you have to be able to project people to get better at what they're going to be, or to fit better. In the case of Kirk Cousins, look, Kirk Cousins is never going to be better. Obviously, he's older. He's never going to be better than he was a few years back. But he's at least as good with better weapons around him in the sense that I know he had Justin Jefferson. He had some – don't kid yourself. He had weapons in Minnesota. I'm not arguing that. But better weapons to fit an offensive attack, because it just sort of is going to be in a different version of what Minnesota was running, in the Rams version of what Minnesota was running. And they envision him as a fit in the Stafford Rams version that Zach Robinson is going to import from Sean McVay. Now, whether that works or not, I don't know. I'm just telling you how they look at it, okay? That's all. I'm just telling you how they look at it. I want to get to your calls, and I promise after the break that I just be patient, please. Just a couple of minutes here, because I need to ask Eric Slaughter something, because I teased it before the top of the hour. Eric, there were 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks, correct?
That is correct, sir.
All right, of the 6, only one of them, Michael Penix Jr., taken 8th by the Atlanta Falcons, is going to sit on the bench, we hope, behind a veteran starter for at least a year, if not more, correct?
Depending on what happens in New England with, what's the guy they brought in, Jacoby Brissett, maybe, but we don't know.
All right, let's presume the other 5 start.
Okay.
Of the other 5 that start, and I nothing against Jacoby Brissett, that's possible. I think they drafted Drake May to start, but we'll see. Of Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May and J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, let's say all 5 start. What are the odds, Eric Slaughter, that all 5 are star quarterbacks in 3 years?
Absolutely zero. We know that's not
absolutely zero is correct. That is a correct statement. Absolutely zero is correct. Now, the odds are that one of them will be a star, maybe 2. One of them will be, and notwithstanding injury, one of them will just be, eh. And one will be, meh, and one will suck. And you go, oh, my God, he's Zach Wilson.
3 Hall of Famers and 2 really good broadcasters. Didn't you say that?
Yep. So, it's a crapshoot. And if Denver made the wrong choice in trading up for J.J. McCarthy, I don't know what to tell you. Because there was a time, I'll tell you, I'll rewind this machine here for you on the Denver Broncos, where they went all in on a guy named Jake Plummer. Oh, man. Jake the Snake, we are good to go. It's John Elway 2.0. How did that work out for you? And by the way, J.J. may go there and just lights it out. You know, he just lights it out. That's possible. I can't know how this is going to work out. You won't either. Is Jaden Daniels going to be the be-all, end-all? Well, you know, a lot of people thought that, just look at recent quarterbacks that they thought were going to hit it in the NFL that didn't hit it. I remember a time where JT Barrett couldn't miss. Oh, JT Barrett, he's a lock. Yeah, really? Braxton Miller, Braxton Miller's a lock. You know, Cardale Jones, EJ Manuel, I mean, all these guys are locks. Jamarcus Russell, yeah, he's got that on lock. I mean, I could go down a list after list after list, and you only have to go back a couple of years to get to Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. All right, I'm just telling you, it's just a crapshoot. And furthermore, Eric, I'm willing to bet you that one of the downline quarterbacks that was taken in this draft, the Jordan Travises, Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, that one of those three guys is better as a professional player than one of those other five I just mentioned.
Wouldn't that be what Kirk Cousins became back in 2012?
Oh gosh, darn! You know, I mean, he was a first round pick though, wasn't he? He was like late.
RG3 was a first round pick, and Cousins went fourth or fifth to be his backup. They were both drafted in the same draft class, and by the same.
And by the way, Kirk Cousins reminds me a lot of Tom Brady in this regard. When they were in college, I went, I thought Kirk Cousins was overrated at Michigan State. Glad I was wrong. Because I don't know what I'm talking about either. Nobody does. Stick with the plan and let's hope it works. On Sports Radio 90, join the game.
Hey,
by request.
I'm your life. I'm the one who takes you there.
If you think the Falcons draft like Scott does suck, then you look at it and you say, I was gonna get to it. Gotta let it play a little bit. See, I'll just talk to this. This is Metallica. I'll get to the hook here. Because in Scott's world, the Falcons draft was. Yeah, it was. Thank you. All right, that's all I had to say. Okay. It's sad but true. In his world. Hey, maybe he may be right. You know, I mean, Scott tweets at me quite often, and I know he is. And look, if you are, that's fine. 404-726-0929. Falcoholic compiled some draft grades here. Let's see. Falcoholic says they did the work. I let them do the work for me in exchange for the shout out here, so I didn't have to do it myself. Sporting News gave the Falcons a C-. The Associated Press, which I think it used to be a legitimate news service. I don't think it is anymore. Gave the Falcons a C-. The Washington Post. Oh, the Washington Post. gave the Falcons a D because they're sports experts. Pro Football Focus gave the Falcons a C-. SI, Sports Illustrated, gave the Falcons an A. An A. Dude was in love with the pick. He loved the whole Michael Penix thing, and he just loved it. I don't know if I would. I don't know. Maybe it's an A. Maybe it's an A. Bleacher Report gave it an F. So I don't know who's right. Well, maybe it's somewhere in between. Life usually is. SI.com, A, Bleacher Report, F. I don't know the guy at Bleacher Report. I have no idea who gave him an F. I assume he's been watching, and studying NFL football for at least the last, year or two. So he'd be an expert. Those are some of the grades for the Atlanta Falcons on their pick of Michael Penix. Look, you can't value it as an F. You just can't, okay? You can't grade it as an F. You could say, for the value of the pick at the time, given the needs, it is somewhat surprising, therefore, maybe, But you have to take into account all the things that stack up. And somebody mentioned, and I'm going to knock on this for Micah here, an injury to Kirk Cousins, and you got to go to him before you want to go to him. Hopefully that does not happen. I would be very pleased not to see Michael Penix playing anything but preseason or mop-up duty until the year 2026 at the earliest. But you have to take into account, do you think he's a good, talented quarterback? I think he's a damn talented quarterback. Do you believe that the Falcons believe that when they put a dozen people on a plane and fly to Seattle to work them out to make sure that they're not making a gigantic mistake, knowing the fallout and consequence of making this pick? Knowing the downside risk of this and watch him do it and go, oh, my God, yeah, we got to take him. They knew the downside risk of this. And then you have to take into account, hey, listen, what do you do post Kirk Cousins? If we are good with Kirk Cousins and we're drafted 28th, or God love us if we're drafted 32nd, what are we going to do about getting a quarterback then? And you have an opportunity now. Why didn't you? How often? Look, there are a couple of things. I love fans. Because I'm one, too. I'm like you, okay? We hear fans who say stuff like, John, we should have had him taken that quarterback a couple of years ago when we had a chance. Yeah, he went right there. We didn't take him. What the hell were we thinking? All right, well, we had the chance and we did. I've heard that one, okay? I mean, John, we got the work quarterback room. We got a noodle arm quitter. We got a guy that's going to be like the Uber Eats guy, DoorDash guy. And they suck. And now we got like, we got Kirk Cousins still in capable, and give him $100 million. And Michael Penix, who's got a bright future here. Who do you think is a better quarterback? Who do you think is, and maybe one of the better quarterback rooms in the NFL? Oh, but we don't want that. Okay. All right. I'm just banging my head on the table here. All right. So who do you think, I'm just curious, who do you think, Eric? Eric Slaughter, I just use you because if I ask somebody else, I'll run into a Keith, like a Bears fan, who just is going to drive me nuts. Just on straight talent, Caleb Williams versus Michael Penix.
On straight talent, I'm still going with Caleb Williams.
Okay. Michael Penix versus Jaden Daniels.
At this moment, Jaden Daniels.
Michael Penix versus Drake May.
Michael Penix. I'm finally on the Penix side.
Michael Penix versus J.J. McCarthy.
Penix again.
Michael Penix versus Bo Nix.
Not even close. Penix again.
Okay. Here we come. Just was curious. And the Falcons said, Caleb agreed with Eric on Caleb Williams, did not agree with Eric on Jaden Daniels. That's what the Falcons did. Because they said, in our world, we went out there and went, oh, my God, he's better than Jaden Daniels. We have him as 1A next to Caleb Williams. That's what they said.
That's their opinion, and they are entitled to it, right?
Right. Well, but that's their opinion, and they're entitled to it. And they're professionals with former NFL quarterbacks and college quarterbacks and NFL passing instructors and people that have been in this business forever and a day and have loads of experience, and they're watching the guy in person and talking to him in person, whereas, you know, Dumbledore over here at Bleacher Report is sitting in his mama's basement, you know, having watched and played PlayStation for a couple of years. He goes, that's an F. You know what I mean? Who are you going to believe? You got to believe somebody. I'm just saying. Now, this current Falcons organization has not proven itself. There's no question of that. I'm not arguing either. Have I been burdened as a Falcons fan? I've been a Falcons fan for 50 years. What do you think? What do you think? You know, everybody goes 28-3. I go, well, there's also 17-0. And do you know what I'm talking about? About 17-0? Anybody know 17-0?
San Francisco 49ers. I was in the building.
Colin Kaepernick? Yeah, okay. Does anybody know, Drew Pearson? Anybody out there know Drew Pearson? In Falcons lore? Yeah. Anybody know that? Okay. I'm just curious. I mean, I've been down this road a few times. Anybody know 1st and 10 in Philadelphia? Or was that shaded by the fact that it came off 28-3, it may have been. Yeah. I don't know what to expect, but I have no choice. What are my options here? Legitimately, what are my options? If I was sitting on the air right now with Randy Mack or Mike Johnson or my old buddy Hugh, you know, guys that played, and that's not to diss anybody else, I'm just talking about former players, and I would say to them, okay, you're inside the locker room, and what are they saying about, hey, listen, $100 million to this quarterback, can we go out and draft a guy number 8? What do they say? They know how that's going to play. Wait a second now. Because somebody said earlier when they were interviewing, right, Eric? They were interviewing Kyle Pitts, and they said, oh, that's going to make training camp interesting. Does it? I mean, there's not a quarterback battle here. I mean, there's no battle. And is okay? We're clear on that, right? It's not like
according to
Kirk
our
Cousins
coach and GM, we are crystal clear on it. The only problem is we all know this: inside a locker room, when you have two quarterbacks, there's guys who favor one, and there's guys that favor the other.
Yeah, well, but if they start winning, everybody will get rally behind the. Oh, hey, Michael, love you. It's great to have you. We're winning. Winning solves everything. Okay.
Can we not have the Chiefs' first opponent? Can we not have the Chiefs and then, you know, because we got a gauntlet. Can we have some easy ones to start the game? The NFL schedule gods, be on our favor.
Yeah, I want the Steelers first. I want to open against the Steelers at Mercedes-Benz. That's what I hope. I want it to be Russ versus Kirk. I want to see Justin Fields in there. I want Arthur Smith to come back into the stadium. I want to beat their brains in.
That's I wouldn't be mad with that either. That would get us a great that'd probably be prime time.
Yeah. Eddie's on with John. I appreciate you being patient, guys. I got a lot bottled up in me. You know, should unleash me during the week, but they don't. Eddie.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good.
So, I said, I actually called and talked to you yesterday, and I said the same thing, but the further away, and I feel even more so today, the further away I get from that first pick, the more okay I am with it. And honestly, like I said, my feeling going into it, even when they signed Kirk Cousins, is I'm cool with Kirk Cousins as long as you have a succession plan. And I can't now complain about the succession plan. It's like a monkey's paw thing. Is it the way I wanted them to do it? Probably not. But they did both things I was asking them to do. So I don't really know how justified I am in being mad at this point.
Well, the proof is in the, you know, production. And again, you know, what do you believe? You know, who do you believe? How do you believe? And if you're going to grade this as an F, I think you're only looking at it through a very narrow, small window. And I think you need to step back and take into account the succession plan, take into account the insurance policy, take into account the fact that they grade him well above station, you know, and take into account the fact that they have proven that they will stay true to their board and take the number one player on their board, even if it means 4 years in a row taking an offensive player, and they have taken a litany of star college players on offense over the last 4 years in Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, and Michael Penix. That is a who's who of all-star college players, right? And now it better
correct.
Work.
So, like, but like if I do have an issue and have a complaint, there's a couple here. One, there's a lot of people talking about how great Terry has done. And in my opinion, the jury is still out on everybody but Drake London as far as where they were picked, right? Like, Kyle Pitts had the one good year with Matt Ryan, and I'm not saying he's bad or anything like that, but there's been injuries, there's been a lot of factors that have not allowed him to be everything you expect a tight end picked at number four overall to be to this point. Bijan was good last year, but he's going to have to be better than he was last year to justify him being picked at eight. And now you're kind of in the same situation with Michael Penix.
Right.
The other thing.
So this is like a video game to me, Eddie. This is like a video game that you're playing where you're like, you know, kind of, you know, you're moving back and forth with your player here and you're dodging, you know, the zombies or whatever. And you got to get the, you know, the next thing that unlocks the, you know, and now that now you get in, you know, player two comes in and player two is Kirk Cousins and he goes through the first wave of zombies and then he unlocks the key and boom, he gets the magical key and you unlock Drake, you unlock Kyle, you unlock Bijan. That's what I'm hoping happens here. Because if it does happen here, because I think that's a belief, Eddie, then it goes to all the points of why this is not an F pick, because then suddenly you're drafting 27, 28, and God love us if we're drafting 32nd. Suddenly you're drafting way late. You're not going to be able to replace Kirk Cousins in 3 years from now. There's going to be somebody calling me up on the radio going, I can't believe, thick tongue, I can't believe we didn't draft in this succession plan. Okay, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to tell you?
Listen, I'm right there with you. I completely agree, and I hope that's the way it goes. The other sort of criticism, though, and I think it's fair, but the problem is I think it's fair if they're saying the value hasn't been there to this point, but I would say the most successfully scouted position in the NFL is pass rusher. Those guys, those double-digit all-star guys generally are not falling to the second and third round. You're not finding them there. And we're not taking him in the first round. So I'm guessing the plan is to do it by committee. But generally, those guys will slip through the cracks. And you haven't taken one in the first round. So.
Yeah, not since you took Tack McKinley. How did that work out first?
That did not work out great. And neither did Vic Beasley. Yeah. So,
well, I disagree on that. You know, Vic led the NFL, arguably, Defensive Player of the Year in 2016. You know, you led the NFL in sacks and strip sacks, and, you know, he just chose a different path in life. I mean, you know, I can't blame the Falcons for that. You know, I mean.
No. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying as far as – I think it would be hard to call him anything but a one-year wonder, though, right? Like, I mean,
he had two. He was okay. I mean, no, I wasn't just like 0-0, 15 and a half, 0-0-0. I mean, he was there for like 4 years. I mean, you know, I mean, he had 7 or 8, but he didn't have 15 and a half. One of the reasons was teams started doubling him, you know, and you know, that just, you know, teams started, hey, we got to get that guy, you know, so they started looking out for him. They started eyeing him. No, I appreciate the call there. Appreciate it. Thanks. 404-726-0929. Quick break. Back with more of your reaction. Best, worst, what surprised you the most? Do the Falcons suck? Do they suck? And it's fine. And again, I've had a couple of callers here. I've got a lot of people on X going, Falcons suck. Fine. I'm going to see it my way. You're going to see it your way. I'm not saying you may be right. The Falcons may go out there. I've got people saying that they're going 7-10 again this year. Look, I thought they were a 10-win team last year. You know? All right. I bought into that one. Sucker to be me on Sports Radio 99 The Game. All right, so I am such a college football fan. I have not begun my countdown yet, but I will say, because, and you'll know when my countdown happens because I'll do it on the X and the Facebook. You'll see it if you follow me at John Fricke, JohnFricke on the Facebook right now. As a matter of fact, on both, links a 3-minute video of my take on the draft, but you're listening to it now, so you don't have to do that. But a lot of reaction on the X if you want to get involved in that too. You can go to my site because a lot of people are chiming in here. A lot of people are giving the what for here, which is good, which is fine. I appreciate that. I want it all the time. It's something that I like. 404-726-0929. Again, at John Fricke, JohnFricke. I use my name and my picture on both my Facebook and my Twitter. I don't hide behind anything. I'm not a sock puppet. That's not me. So I stand by everything I say, even if I'm wrong. And that's usually quite a bit. So we're talking today here about, you know, the Atlanta Falcons here. I want the Falcons to win so badly, partially because I'm a Falcons fan and I have never had a chance to – I want to go to a parade before I die. Partially because I'm rooting for, you know, Mr. Blank, because I think he's done such great things. And it bothers me to no end. And I have to bite my typing hand from – screaming on the X at people, and I had it happen this week, of how Mr. Blank sucks as an owner. That drives me crazy, okay? It just does. He's brought you what? Was he responsible for what happened 7.5 years ago? I mean, was that his fault in the second half, in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter? What? Is it his fault that 17-0 you decided that Colin Kaepernick should, like, look like a real NFL quarterback and you weren't going to cover Vernon Davis? Is that his fault? He's put you in position, right? First down to 10 in Philadelphia, and you, hey, where's Julio? Where's Julio? Where's Julio? Where's Julio? Where's Julio? I mean, is that his fault? He give you a magnificent stadium that continues to get better and better. That whole area is increasing, and bring these events in and do what he's done for the city, what he's done for charity, and the works that he's done in time. And I just shake my head and go, huh? What? Okay. So that just sticks in my craw. So I want it for him. And I want it for – I am so thrilled that Raheem Morris is the head coach. Beyond thrilled. Not that I wouldn't have supported whoever they hired, okay? I would have supported whoever they hired. Look, I supported Mr. FedEx himself 3 years ago. And actually, you know, as much as I want to dig at Arthur Smith, I can't really dig too much at him. I mean, I understand, you know, people were upset about him because, you know, they would say things like, how could he not challenge that? Well, he couldn't challenge it because, you know, his nose is stuck in a play chart. You ever notice that? Dude never saw – I don't think Arthur Smith saw one play of a live NFL game, ever. He was like, okay, we're going to run this one. All right, what happened? Okay, so we'll run the – he never took it. Yeah, okay, I'll read it. He's like, you know, he's like the heavy dude at the Waffle House. Never takes his – I'm all about, oh, okay, I'll go with the All-Star. I'll go with the – you know, I mean, he never took his face out of it, you know? Anyway, so I want them to win – because I like Raheem so much, and I do. And I want this city to finally experience, you know, the joy that it deserves here from an NFL franchise. It's been close a couple of times. Look, we've been to 2 Super Bowls. There have been cities that have never been, okay? And, you know, Detroit Dunderhead doesn't do what he does last year. Remember, the Lions have never been, and they should have gone. Oh, my God, they should have gone. Oh, my God. it must just, I can't imagine Detroit Sports Talk Radio after that one. Trust me, I know. I was there because the first show up after 28-3 was guess who? Yeah, that would have been me and you. All right, let's get back to your calls here. Let's talk about the Falcons here. Let's go to Greg. He joins us. Did the Falcons suck? What was the best? What was the worst? What surprised you the most here? Hey, Greg.
Hey, Don. How you doing, John?
Good.
First of all, I'd like to touch on Twitter. Realize that only 8% of the idiots that are on there, of the whole population, will get down. Most of the people that are on there never played high school football. So that'd be the first thing I want to say about Twitter. I've heard that.
Well, I'm aware of this. At the same time, it's part of my job, and you know, and how much I'll tweet when I retire. In a number of years, you know, I probably won't. Yeah, but I mean, it just so I have to be on there. I have to interact with fans. It's just an interaction thing. So I've got to
be there. I get that. Yeah. But I don't have a Twitter account, just like the one earlier. But I just want to know where everybody's been the last 3 years. They've been bitching, whining, and moaning about we don't have a quarterback, and now we have two, and they're still whining and moaning. You know, I don't get it. And as far as Penix injuries, you know, he was in Indiana running the option when he got both of those tears. They weren't major surgeries. He went to Washington and lit it up. He's talented, full of talent. I think this is a potential A. And, you know, that's really all I got to say. I think everybody needs to cool their jets and let the process play itself out. And
if you wanted to grade this as incomplete, that's fair. F is
just
not.
Well, I'm just saying it's potentially.
No. I know. Look, I agree. I'm just talking about the people that voted it as an F, like Bleacher Report. If you grade this as an F, if you want to grade it as incomplete, that's fair. You cannot grade this as an F. That is a really small-minded, narrow-minded vision of what this is. It's not seeing the big picture.
Right. And the process with them loading up on the interior line, the picks they've gotten, I was very pleased. Even when Penix, he picked him, and I said, oh, yeah, boy, they shook it up. You know, they shook this draft up with that pick, and it did, in my opinion.
Well, and I understand why people are, you know, you got to get an immediate impact guy. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Greg. I do appreciate it. 404-726-0929. I get the, you know, immediate impact. I was one of the guys said, you know, can you really afford, when they went to made the big Seattle trip, I was on the air a couple of weeks ago talking to all y'all about, boy, you know, they're going out there. Dude, this is not an okey-doke thing. They're going out there. They're not trying to okey-doke the Denver, Vegas, Minnesota into trading up. They're going out there because they need to reaffirm the fact they have him really high on their board. And as it turns out, they had him at the worst, number two. At the worst, they may have had him equal to Caleb Williams. We got to spend all this money, all this time, all these resources. If we're going to the downside risk, and we went through the downside risk of, is Kirk going to be mad? How's he going to play in the locker room? Are the fans not going to like it? He's not going to be able to impact this team now. All the downside risk of taking this guy, and they went out there, worked him out in 50-degree weather, in wind and rain, and they went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, we got to take this guy, don't we? Patrick, hey, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, John.
I hear you. Yep, I hear you.
Oh, I'm from Spelman. I've been following them since 66, and I want to tell you about a diamond in the rough that we got in this draft that nobody's talking about, and that's Bertram, J.D. Bertram. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know him or his family or anything about him, but I went and read about everything about him, and he was a defensive player of the year in high school in 7 AAA or quad A or 5A or whatever it was.
Yeah, bless
the
Trinity.
More importantly, he's a middle linebacker for Notre Dame, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. This guy led Notre Dame in tackles 2 or 3 years in a row, and I believe with all that push we got up the middle, he's going to be back there just waiting for things to happen. I think he's going to be a diamond in the rough.
I hope you're right. I mean, yeah, you know, linebackers at Notre Dame, as long as they don't have phony girlfriends, usually pan out okay. I don't know much about him either. I know that Notre Dame had a really good defense. Again, they went heavy on the defensive side of the ball. I'm intrigued by, you know, what they're expecting to do. It does, you know, is it a depth move with Bertrand? Yes. I think it's a depth move because you do have Tri Anderson coming back. Well, at least we think, Patrick, that Troy Anderson's coming back. We haven't had official word on either he or Grady. We think that Troy Anderson's going to be back in full, and you still have, you know, Caden Ellis. And but again, this also goes to, but to your point here, I mentioned the circle. Thank you, Patrick. I want to talk about this. I want to go back. On the perimeter, you got a circle, right? And you got a perimeter. Quarterback out to the right, you go wide receiver. Quarterback and running back, you go out to the wide receiver on the right. You go up on the circle, cornerback, safety, top of the circle, down the other side, cornerback, other wide receiver. You make a perimeter circle, right? Then you dissect it in half, and I talked about the point by cutting a line right through it, you know, the radius there, and a point in the middle, that's the ball, and how are you right around the ball? And I mentioned the Falcons have, you know, the center and the two guards on offense now with Dahlman and Bergeron and certainly Lindstrom, that they feel very confident about being a top three unit in that in the NFL. Now you go out and you get Rook and you get Zion to help out with, you know, the middle there with Onyemata, with Grady, with Street, with Taquan, and you feel pretty good about the three that are going to be right around that ball in those gaps around the ball. Okay, so now that there's another line, and that other line is kind of a baseball line, and that's the one that goes north-south, right through the circle, right? Because in baseball, you want to be strong up the middle. You want to be, you know, defensively, obviously. You got catcher. We're not just talking about pitchers. Catcher, second base, shortstop, center field, right? I mean, that's where you want to be strong up the middle. Same is true in the NFL, too, by the way. You want to be strong up the middle. Running back, quarterback, center, nose, middle linebacker, safety. You know, I mean, you want to be strong, you know, goalpost to goalpost. And you're great. You know, you got a Jesse Bates. You've got a, you know, a guy in the middle there in Grady, whichever side he, of that particular line he falls on. You have Dahlman. You have Kirk Cousins. You have Bijan. Okay, what about that middle spot? Is that where Troy Anderson is? Or is that a place that you need to upgrade because you want to move Troy? So you just got to solidify that spot there to be, again, this is how you build a team. This is about team building here, right? It's an old school kind of way you build a team. If you're a young coach who's working with, you know, 9 and 10-year-olds, you want to put your best athletes, you know, I mean, it's great to have them out on the edge, but if the quarterback can't throw the ball to them, it doesn't mean anything. You got to put them at running back. You got to put them at linebacker. You got to have them, you know, where they're going to be impacting plays on either side of the field from the middle of the field, right? Okay. 404-726-0929. Let's go to Tony. Hey, Tony, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, how you doing? I just have three questions, and I don't know if anybody has asked this before, so I apologize if they have. The first question I have is, do we think that the Falcons' pick of Penix at number 8 has anything to do with the us possibly losing draft picks in the future for tampering allegations?
All right. Can I take these one? Can I take these? All right. Can I take them one at a time, Tony?
Oh, okay. Yes. Sorry.
All right. Okay. My answer is no, because I don't know that they know what the tampering allegations are going to be. I appreciate the fact that you would ask that question. I think it's a fair question. My answer to you is no. First off, I don't think it's going to be a first-round pick. Better not be a first-round pick. For whispering in the ear of Kirk Cousins, oh, my God, you know, I mean, what, we illegal tampered before the legal tampering period, which maybe should be a legal tampering period before the legal tampering period. I mean, what did we really violate here? It's overblown here.
Okay.
Well, the NFL doesn't have rules, but I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I can't imagine. I mean, they take a one from us, I'm going to raise high holy hell in the air.
Okay. And I did. I've heard analysts talking about Kirk Cousins and talking about him, you know, being surprised and, oh, what are you crying about when you got, you know, at least $100 million. But one thing that I thought about is, I don't know how many people are looking at Kirk's mindset where he's in a new city and he has a highly touted, you know, rookie, you know, quarterback behind him. So in an event that he gets out there and start making the littlest mistakes, you know, he doesn't want to lose the fan base, you know, people thinking that we should just sit him down and play our rookie. So I kind of understand him from that standpoint.
Well, I understand him from that standpoint as well, but I don't think it's, honestly, I don't think it's as small as that. And I don't mean to make light of your question. I don't think it's defined, you know, as pinpointed as that. I think it's more a question about, I think Kirk Cousins may have envisioned himself, he's going to be 36, saying I could play at 36, 37, 38. I might be able to play 4 years, 39. Quarterback's got a 40. And suddenly he sees that, you know, at some point here, maybe after 2 years, but certainly after three, that they're just going to say, yeah, we're moving on. And I think he didn't want to have his hand forced that way. I would think it's more of a...
Yeah. Okay, okay. And then lastly, you know, Penix, you know, about how we think he feel about, you know, delaying his dream about, you know, playing on the NFL field, even though, you know, he's already 24 years old.
Oh, I think if you're Michael Penix, you're really happy. Because, again, you don't have to face the fire. You could come in and kind of learn this and kind of go with it. And, you know, I mean, you know, there's no better job in the world. And I mean, in the world than backup quarterback in the NFL. You get paid a lot of money to stand there and do nothing. You know, I mean, yeah. It's great. I mean, it's fabulous.
Matt Schaub did it for us for years. And look right. How he
yeah.
turned out.
Of course, he also started for us, but yeah. No, I mean, yeah, there's no better job than backup quarterback in the NFL. Yeah, you know, sure, yeah. Okay, you're going to pay me to stand here and read a surface? Okay, sure, yeah, okay. Hey, good right. game, guys. I mean, no, but there is the competitive part of that, too. And you know, somebody said, again, earlier, Kyle Pitts was asked about, we played the soundbite about Kyle Pitts asked about, you know, a training camp. Oh, it's going to be interesting in training. I don't think it's interesting in training camp. What I think will be interesting is preseason. If Michael Penix comes out there and goes boom, 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 yeah, that's going to be an issue. Because some fans are going to be on the radio and be going, I know we paid the other dude $100 million, but... Which may go to your first point. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. 404-726-0929 is the number. We got one more hour as we roll through this. Do the Falcons suck? I mean, look, if you think so, that's fine. Best, worst, what surprised you the most? We're talking about the draft and about how this all kind of plays out for the Falcons kind of moving forward here. And as I talk to you, I'm working out things in my head, too. So you understand that this is a process for me. This is cathartic for me, too. I was surprised, I have to admit, over the weekend. I was surprised. On Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.